Hey, welcome back to the Sports Ticket. Time to talk Chiefs football with Matthew Derrick at Chiefs Digest. He's with us, and he's going to help all of us Chiefs fans and Chiefs Kingdom settle down, calm down, and he's going to make us feel better today. Right, Matthew?
You've got a little high expectations there, Wade. But we'll see what we can work through. Maybe we can work through a little bit of everything.
Okay, that sounds good. I mean, well, you know, speaking of high expectations, there were high expectations for this team this year. And let's be honest, there's only 7 games that have been played. There's still 10 more to go with the 17-game season for the first time in NFL history. So I'm going to ask you the question that many people have been asking on social media. People have been asking me. My phone was lighting up like a Christmas tree during the game on Sunday. And that is this team broken?
I don't think it's broken. There are certain things that don't make a lot of sense. I mean, anybody who was in St. Joseph with this team and watching it in their preseason didn't see this defensive performance coming. And certainly nobody in the world would have expected the offense to be turning the football over this often. But that's, you know, I think you can make the problems that this team has way too complicated. Yeah, the defense hasn't been playing well, but I think it's been getting better. But ultimately, you turn the ball over as many times and make as many mistakes as this offense makes, unforced errors, and they're going to doom you. And there's nothing you can do on either side of the football to recover from that. This team has turned the ball over 17 times. The next most turnovers in the league is 12. And that's the Texans, the Jaguars, and the Jets. Those three teams have one win each. And remember, one of those wins came when the Texans and the Jaguars played each other.
Yeah.
So, you know, you turn the ball over 17 times at this point in the season in the NFL, you shouldn't be 3-4. You should be 1-6 or 0-7. And so to a degree, I mean, I think it speaks to, you know, how talented this team is and what the potential is that they are 3-4. And honestly, I mean, they are 3 turnovers away, maybe 3 mistakes away from being even 6-1. 5-1, 5-2 rather, but you know, it's just, I think it's perplexing that the team is in this position. I do think they can get out of it, and the simplest way to get out of it is stop committing penalties at bad times, stop turning the football over.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. It also helped with the defense would play better. I think we are so used to the defense not being that good. We're used to the offense carrying the load and being the sexy part of this team that we have now become bored with talking about how the defense isn't that good, and now we're taking all the shots at the offense. This is my feeling. I feel the defense has infected the offense because we're seeing the offense press. I mean, a lot of these turnovers aren't necessarily forced, per se. We're seeing Tyreek Hill drop passes that he normally doesn't because I think he's frustrated. He can't get open and get the big plays downfield because defenses are taking that away. You're seeing Kelce extremely frustrated trying to lateral the football multiple times in a game that he normally doesn't do. That's a form of pressing. Mahomes, you know, throwing on a third down. I'll never forget this. Third down and 8 against the Chargers. He treated that like a fourth down in a tie game because I believe he did that knowing my best chance to win the game was not to give the ball over on a punt fourth down, but was to hope something happens offensively because my defense isn't going to be able to do enough. It just seems to me that this offense that has carried this team for 3.5 seasons, if there's anything broken, I think it's their back because they've been shouldering the load of trying to protect the defense at times with longer possessions this year, keeping the defense off the field. The defense can't get a pass rush. And when the Chiefs start out deferring and the defense gives up a touchdown, the Chiefs, before they even get on the field, are behind. And, I mean, you look at the Eagle game, for crying out loud, that game should have been a complete laugher when you score every time except once, and yet they were sweating things in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and Patrick Mahomes said, you know, a couple of magic words on Sunday after the game. I mean, one, he conceded that he was pressing a bit.
Yeah.
And two, he talked about the 14-point play. And, I mean, that's what the Chiefs have basically been looking for on offense.
Yep.
They've been looking for 14-point plays, and those don't exist. When you're trying to score 2 touchdowns in every possession, you're going to score none. I mean, that's just the reality of it. And you're right. I mean, I think the press has infected a lot of guys. When I see, you know, Tyreek Hill dropping passes, especially one that was clear cut on Sunday, you know, where the ball goes through his hands,
yeah,
because he's already turning upfield to try and make a play. I mean, those are hallmark signs of players who are trying to do too much and they feel the pressure a little bit. And here's the analogy I've been trying to work through this week and everything. We know that Patrick Mahomes and this Chiefs offense is a Ferrari. I mean, they can go up and down the field 80 yards and through, no problem at all. I mean, we've seen it before. But right now, teams are forcing this team to go methodically. I mean, yep. They're saying, you're not going to beat us deep. You're not going to get the chunk plays anymore. We're taking all of that away. The Chiefs offense needs to be a minivan. They need to, you know, they have to put everybody in that minivan. They got to put the defense in that minivan. Need 11 seats in there for that defense alone. They've got – teams are willing to let the Chiefs beat them with 1,000 cuts. And the Chiefs have to accept that. They're going to have to do it that way. If teams are going to say to the Chiefs, the only way that we're going to let you score is to go down the field 75 yards, 15 plays in 8 minutes, that's what the Chiefs are going to have to do. And they're going to have to do it repeatedly to get teams, you know, to loosen up the way that they're playing them right now. Because the way that they're doing it, there's simply no way that the Chiefs can run their offense the way that they want to. And now I say all of this with the caveat being that when the Chiefs don't turn the football over,
yeah. This
is a historically great offense. I mean, they're still number one. Even after getting 3 points on Sunday, they still lead the league by a pretty hefty distance as far as points per possession. That tells you right there, I mean, this offense is still top-notch. They just got to stop turning the football over.
Nope, I agree with you. Matt Derrick of Chiefs Digest, our guest today, talking Chiefs football. To extend upon your point, because that was the next place I was going to go, it's almost like you read my notes, and that is, to me, I'm very surprised on a couple of things opponents are now finally doing that took 3.5 years to figure out. And some people say, well, the Bucs showed the blueprint. Well, that was with backup tackles the Chiefs were playing with, and they have a dominant pass rush. Not every team has that. Two things stand out to me over the years. One, I've never understood why coaches don't go for it on fourth down almost all the time against the Chiefs, because one, the Chiefs' defense is their weakness, and two, you would keep Mahomes on the sideline, so why not be aggressive on fourth down? We're starting to see some coaches like Brandon Staley and others understand finally this is an offensive league and maybe you should utilize all four downs, and I would say the Chiefs should consider doing that as well to keep their defense off the field. But the other part, it goes to what you just said. I'm surprised it's taken so long for defenses to say, you know what, we're not going to get beat over the top by Tyreek Hill. We're going to make them be patient. And here's the thing. Instead of the 4-play, 3-play, quick scoring drives, like you said, we're going to make them go 10 plays, 75 yards, because we're going to play the odds, we're going to play the percentages. We believe the Chiefs, one, even if they are patient, we're going to get a tip ball because there's going to be 10 plays on the drive instead of 4. We're going to get maybe a fumble. Maybe we're going to, if they have to go 10 plays, that's 10 more or 6 more snaps in a 4-play drive. So now we get a false start, a holding, an OPI. And next thing you know, they're in a long situation. And so to me, when you're simply playing the odds as a defense against the Chiefs, saying we ain't giving you anything deep. And if you can go 10 plays, 80 yards and score, great. We'll give it to you. If you can do it, fine. But we believe that we're going to play the odds, and our best interest is to make you take your time, as you said, methodically moving it down the field. I'm surprised teams haven't done this sooner.
Yeah, and some teams have. But the one biggest difference, you know, the teams are taking the approach this year that's really different is that, and they finally learned something that they should have known a couple years ago, which is don't blitz Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
It doesn't work. The other part of the equation, and you hit on it with, you know, the Super Bowl and why the Bucs plan was so effective, was because the Chiefs offensive line was completely banged up and they were able to dominate that game with just 4 pass rushers and drop 7 in coverage. Other teams had tried that in the past, but they didn't have, the superior up front 4 pass rushers to get the job done. Now, this offensive line is, I think, eventually going to be a good offensive line. They might still have a couple of questions at a couple of spots, but the interior, I think, is going to be pretty good. But the problem right now is that Patrick Mahomes is still getting to learn these tackles and how to set up a pocket. And I think the one concern I would have going forward that the Chiefs have got to fix immediately is that the Titans exploited a really big weakness, which is that, you know, you put a little bit of pressure, and Andy Reid talked about this on Monday, you put a little bit of pressure on the right side of that offensive line to just make sure Mahomes feels it, that he sees it. It's coming at him. It's on his throwing arm side. And then you speed rush around the end on Orlando Brown, because that's the one weakness that he has is really that speed rusher around the outside. And that's something that, you know, Eric Fisher didn't give that up as much. You know, Fish, even Pro Bowler, let's give it up for him. But, you know, when he usually got beat, it was usually with guys maybe putting on a double move and going inside on him. And that's a little bit easier to defend, I mean, especially if you got a running back in there. But on that end rush that the Titans were bringing, if your tackle can't stop that, there's very little defense for it. And unfortunately, Mahomes has a tendency to drift in the pocket a little bit, you know, that turns these 7-yard drops into 10-yard drops, and that's ideal for a speed rusher. So the concern I would have going forward is that the Chiefs, like I said, they have to fix, is that teams are going to continue to do that. They're going to attack Orlando Brown's speed on the outside. They'll put a little pressure on the other side, and that's enough to, you know, make Mahomes uncomfortable and give him an unstable pocket, or at least the impression of one, because he even conceded on Sunday. You know, he took off a few times when maybe he didn't need to, because he felt there was pressure even if there wasn't.
Why doesn't this team, I mean, I saw this with Lucas Niang, I forgot what game it was, where he was getting beat quite a bit. I think it was a Charger game. And I'm sitting there, and they left the rookie on an island, and they hardly ever helped him. What? I mean, Orlando Brown's struggling the other day, and the Chiefs got plenty of tight ends. You bring extra tight end. I know it changes what they want to do offensively, or you have a running back, chip him, coming out of the backfield. It just seems like these tackles, the Chiefs just pretty much say, one-on-one, and we need to have four or five receivers out in the pattern, and there's no help for them.
Yeah, that was a perplexing thing with Brown on Sunday, because it became evident on the very first drive that that's what the Titans were going to do. And you just need to be able to put a little chip out there, anything, just to slow them down a little bit on that outside. And I don't know if it's just that they kind of took that out of the game plan this week because they didn't have a fullback. Michael Burton's out. They went to a game plan that they thought, well, you know what, we're not going to need to worry about that this week, and then just failed to make the adjustment. But you're right. I mean, you know, they got Blake Bell, although he's been hurt too, but, you know, that's a guy that can at least chip a little bit. You don't want to have to take Kelsey out to do that, but he can do it. But I was surprised. You're right. There have been a couple of instances where it seems like they've been pretty stubborn with just leaving those tackles out there on an island and not giving them a lot of help.
Matthew Derrick, Chiefs Digest, our guest today talking Chiefs football. Let's turn our attention to the defense. You know, I like seeing Bolton and Gay both out there. I mean, you've got a lot more speed. I know Bolton's trying to learn how to handle pass coverages, but, man, he was one of the bright points, if not the only bright point, of the game on Sunday in Tennessee. You get Thornhill on the field more so now instead of Sorensen, so you're a little bit more athletic. You're younger. What about this defense? Because to me, you know, I know people can be critical of the offense and turnovers. That's a fair point. We can be critical of the defense as a whole. That's a fair point. You can be critical of Mahomes. He's not perfect. He's not God. He makes mistakes too. But Chris Jones and Frank Clark just aren't really doing much, especially Chris Jones.
Yeah, and I don't think there's any doubt. Watching Chris Jones play, he's hurt. I mean, that they shut him down for a couple of weeks with that wrist to try and settle it down. And it doesn't look like it's helped a whole lot, because that guy still is out there looking like he's playing with one arm, and that's really hard to do as a pass rusher, and even more so if you're trying to defend the run. I mean, that's just I don't think that he's anywhere close to 100%. Same thing's probably true with Frank Clark. I mean, he's been playing through both those hamstring injuries now. He looks like he's maybe getting a little bit better, but I know when he first came back, what was it, last week, 2 weeks ago, really kind of just looked like he was struggling out there. And they've had some other injuries on that defensive line too that have slowed guys down. Those are what you have. And even when the Chiefs have had some healthy guys out there, they've continued to struggle. So there's a lot of concern there. But, you know, how do you fix the defensive line? Honestly, I don't think there's anything that you can do other than, you know, wait for Chris Jones to get healthy. And if it means shutting him down for a little bit longer to get him healthy, I think you probably have to consider that.
Okay, got to get a pass rush. Have to get a pass rush. And right now they're not getting one. Only 8 sacks on the year. Let me delve into a line of thought here. The Chiefs have not been the same football team since the Buccaneers blew them out last year. They just haven't. They had never been blown out when Mahomes was the quarterback. They're blown out in Super Bowl. They're blown out the other day. There seems to be chinks in the armor that they can fix. That's why I haven't given up on them, although their schedule doesn't do them any favors coming up here after the Giants. Do you believe that, and we've seen this with teams year in and year out, that the Super Bowl loser has a hard time even making the playoffs, let alone contending for a Super Bowl. Do you believe in the deep runs by the Chiefs the last 3 years are finally catching up to the core players, perhaps? And two, has this team maybe lost that swagger and that sense of invincibility? I mean, this team was 25-1 during a stretch going into the Super Bowl. They only lost one game with their regulars last year. And people thought they were going to roll to a second Super Bowl. Everybody's talking dynasty, and all of a sudden, it just came crashing to earth.
I think it's definitely a factor. I mean, Patrick Mahomes will tell you, hey, he wants to win every single game, and that's not, you know, a consideration. But then again, I mean, not everybody's as competitive as Patrick Mahomes, so he's wired a little bit differently. But I don't think there's absolutely any doubt the last two seasons took a toll on this team mentally. And especially last year, I mean, the COVID year was a tough year around the league for everybody all around. And the Chiefs, obviously, with the Buccaneers, had the two longest seasons of anybody. You add in the previous run, and the Chiefs have played, two more games than anybody in the league, and they've been generally playing, six games more than most teams in the league. I mean, that's almost an entire extra half season.
Yeah.
And it's been stressful. And, you know, and I talked to a lot of the players in the off season who said they did things differently this year. I mean, they were trying to, you know, rebuild themselves mentally and kind of restore themselves. You know, Tyreek Hill normally would be working with, his private coaches, both the strength and conditioning and football side. And, you know, when I asked him what he did this off season, you know, to work out and everything, he's like, you know what, I had to rest. I didn't do normally the stuff that I would normally do. And a lot of guys were like that. They spent more time with their families. They took some time off. And some of that was, you know, actually encouraged by the Chiefs. I mean, Andy Reid told these guys that they need to take a little bit of time this offseason to recharge. And maybe it wasn't enough. Maybe they just needed a little bit more. And you're right, once you get a ring and you make another run, maybe a little bit of the motivation can get away from you. And it doesn't have to be much. I mean, in this league, it can be just a hair as all you need to be off, and teams are going to get you. I mean, Andy Reid will tell you that. So I think it's absolutely a factor.
What about the salary cap and the money and the situation for the Chiefs? Because, the Chris Jones contract, Frank Clark's contract, Hitchens' contract, and I think Hitchens and Clark may very well not be on this team next year. Tyrann Mathieu is going to be a free agent. Some people could argue that you shouldn't give Mathieu an extension in the money right now if you're one of the worst. I mean, the Chiefs are last in almost virtually every category, and the one that matters the most, points allowed, they're last. So I compare it to, you have a closer in baseball that leads the league in saves at 47, but you won 68 games. What's it really helping you do? Jared Allen was a sack leader in the NFL, and they were 2-14. What did that really accomplish for you? What about the Chiefs and what they're dealing with financially? Because Jones' number is going to go up next year. Of course, Mahomes, the next few years, is going to go escalate and go up. There is some money that will probably come off the books. But how challenging is that for the Chiefs? Because it seems like it does hamstring them in certain ways. And as somebody explained to me, he said, listen, you know, the Chiefs weren't able to go get a guy like Alejandro Villanueva to be a tackle and pay him $14 million or $8 million guaranteed. So they went and traded a first-round pick to get Orlando Brown, who I think it's $3 million that's on the books or something like that this year. What about the impact of the bill has to be paid at some point and the bill coming due and that hamstringing the Chiefs for maybe not only this year but maybe next year?
Yeah, you know, I mean, and that's important because even, you know, one bad move can put you into some rough spot.
Yeah.
And, for instance, I mean, the Chiefs, you know, getting sideways with all their edge rushers and, you know, having to let go of Justin Houston and, you know, having to walk away from Dee Ford, you know, it leads them into, you know, having to spend a ton of money on Frank Clark, who, hey, he brought him a Super Bowl. So, and I don't think you win that Super Bowl without Frank Clark.
Agreed.
But at the same time, you know, now it looks like a costly mistake because he's not been able to meet his production hasn't met the value that you're giving him. You got to get those things right. I mean, that's the one thing that is on Brett Veach is that you're paid to make the right decisions. And some moves, I mean, hey, Jaron Reed on paper looked like a fantastic move. But now, in retrospect, you can absolutely say, yeah, hey, maybe the Chiefs should have just gone out and gotten a one-year fix at tackle or a one-year fix at edge rusher rather than bringing in Jaron Reed. those things you have to get. And the Chiefs have some, hey, there's some positives. Willie Gay and Nick Bolton look like they're going to be a really good linebacker duo.
Mm-hmm.
So you got the core right there to build around. Chris Jones isn't going anywhere, and you got to hope that when he's healthy, he's going to live up to that contract. Legarius Sneed is a core piece. That's going to be, looks like right now, going to be one of the best corners in the league. So you feel pretty good about that. But you got to retool that defense a little bit. And the least in the short term, it's not going to happen this year because there's no room under the salary cap. You know, you talk about the trade deadline coming up next week. There's no trade out there that's going to would blow away anybody to say, oh, well, this is the fix for the defense. Because any guy that they could pick up is going to be a guy making very little money who's underperformed and is looking for a fresh start. There's nothing that could walk through that door to help this defense right now. But for the future, yeah, you're going to get Frank Clark off the books. You will probably get Anthony Hitchens off the books. There's plenty of money to spend in the offseason, but they're going to have to spend it wisely. This time they got to get them right.
And that's why I take a flyer to try to help a wide receiver on Josh Gordon. Speaking of that, do you see him having much of an impact this year?
I mean, I still think the possibility is there. The real question was just going to be how quickly he could get acclimated. Has now for three straight weeks had a plan for getting Josh Gordon involved. And the problem is that they get behind early and they get away from his portion of the playbook. They don't have him involved in some of their up-tempo stuff, and they're kind of from behind. I mean, they've got him in their standard packages right now, and they're kind of getting out of standard packages from the very beginning. I mean, he was starting on Sunday, and then they almost immediately had to get away from him being on the field because he wasn't in the game plan that they were using. So I think at some point, and you're probably getting close. I mean, I thought when they brought him in, I thought the realistic idea was that he could make an impact after week 8. You know, that's the kind of time that I thought it would take for him to get acclimated and everything. So right now is the kind of time where I would expect that Gordon could get in there and make a little bit more of an impact. But at some point, I think they just got to throw him on the field and see what they got because they need a boost, and he's a guy that could provide one.
We know this team is pressing. We know this team is frustrated. They're not used to being in this situation. They have no leeway for error since they're 3-4. The Giants come to town Monday night. Chiefs should win that game. But what happens if the Chiefs somehow lose that game, continue to turn it over, defense doesn't play well, they're 3-5? Do you feel like an implosion could be coming?
Yeah. I mean, if they lose this game, especially, you know, how they could lose this game. I mean, if they come out because Giants play lights out, which I can't imagine happening.
Right.
That would be the worst case scenario. But you know, if this, the bigger concern to me is that this is the team game that the Chiefs need to win by double digits pulling away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they should win this game by 24 points. And if they instead win this game by 8, that to me is a problem. I mean, this is, you know, with the Chiefs, with their situation, they should absolutely be ready to just lay down a beatdown on the Giants. And they can't get away with just, you know, slipping by this team. I mean, they need a convincing win. They're still, I mean, the glass half full, you can still say, hey, the Chiefs have lost 4 games, probably to 4 teams that could all very easily, if not definitely, be in the playoffs. And they've beaten the teams that aren't going to be in the playoffs. So if they lose this game, that's a bad sign. I mean, to me, it's an indication that this team's heading south and probably not able to recover. If they come out and absolutely lay a beatdown, then I can see, hey, you know what? Maybe they finally have had enough, and maybe they are coming together.
Yeah, if they lose it, I think that's the end. But if they win against the Giants and then find a way to beat the Packers at home, suddenly they're 5-4, and everybody's going to start jumping back on the wagon, don't you think?
Yeah, you've got, after the Giants, you've got, what, the Packers, Cowboys, and Raiders.
Yeah,
and
tough stretch.
You are really, you've got to go 2-1 in that stretch,
mm-hmm,
to put yourself in. And you know what? Here's the crazy thing. I mean, if the Chiefs stop turning the football over, there's no reason they can't go 3-0 in that stretch.
True.
But they could also go 0-3 if they're not careful.
No, I totally agree with that, no doubt. All right. What would be your prediction right now on this team? Where's the record going to land, and do they find a way to get in the playoffs, or do they win the division?
I mean, until I see them go completely south, and just given how this team has rallied before with their backs against the wall, they always seem to pull it out. I'm going with 11-6. I think they will rally, but you know, it's not gonna take more than one more bad loss for me to say, okay, this isn't a playoff team. You know, 8 wins might be the ceiling.
Yeah, I think if you lose the Giants, that's exactly what we'll be saying. All right, time for the off-the-wall question. Halloween is coming up here on October the 31st on Sunday. Matt, I don't know how big you were into Halloween when you were little, or maybe you're still big into Halloween now. I'm all into the candy tax on my kids' candy. That's what I love about Halloween. What was your favorite Halloween costume that you wore, or maybe one that somebody else wore that you really loved and wish you could have worn?
Probably the one I'm most proud of, and this will absolutely certainly give away my age, but I won the Boy Scout Troop Award for Best Costume, so that was my only award-winning effort. I went as a Rubik's Cube.
Oh, love it.
I got a big, giant box and painted it as a Rubik's Cube, and that was probably the one costume I absolutely put some effort into.
How old were you when you did that?
That would have been probably 11 or 12.
Yeah. Was that your idea or somebody else's, and then you just ran with it?
Totally my idea.
How cool.
Mom helped me with paint and everything like that. She was the artist, so she at least helped me make sure that it, you know, it didn't look childish. She helped me put some polish on it, because if I had just done it by myself, that would have been a problem. But totally my inspiration with execution with her help.
Have you ever solved a Rubik's Cube and got all the sides right?
I have.
Wow.
I'm not like a wizard or anything, but I used to have one of the patterns memorized, so I could solve one about two and a half minutes.
I could get two sides, but I just wasn't good enough at that. So I'm very jealous and envy that you were able to do that. That is very, very cool. Matt, tell everybody how they can follow you. You do a wonderful job covering the Chiefs. That's why we enjoy having you on. Let everybody know how they can follow you and get a hold of you or whatever it might be.
You can always go to ChiefsDigest.com. You can follow me on Twitter, at Matt Derrick, and you can find Chiefs Digest on Facebook.
Matt, always a pleasure. Let's hope the Chiefs turn it around. Next time we're talking about the team driving towards the playoffs, my friend.
Sounds like a plan, Wade. Thanks a lot. Take care, everybody.
Take care. Matt Derrick, Chiefs Digest. Great job covering the Chiefs. Our guest today on the Sports Ticket.